Except in the last 24 hours, we thought his time was better spent elsewhere. And so I have, you know, had about 24 hours to have a quick pop quiz of the last couple sermons, because we are praying out of our sermon series the last 3 weeks. And the point of having a bit of teaching was just to give us all a refresher of what was happening in Acts. And then we were going to pray out of that. So that is still what is going to happen. But I'm actually just going to teach slash facilitate that from the front. So I'm going to just talk to you about how that's going to happen. If you do not have a sheet here with a pen, can you please raise your hand? Our greeters are ready, but everyone is going to need one of these this morning, particularly if I know that prayer can make people anxious. So if you're in the balcony, I don't know if anyone needs it in the balcony, raise your hands. I think we even have parts in here where you're just going to read words aloud and we have fill in the blanks. So you're going to get very clear instructions on how to do this, because we recognize that for some people, praying aloud or prayer is just a thing that makes you anxious. And then we're going to put you in a church context where this normally doesn't happen on a Sunday morning. So I'm going to ask that you have the courage to try. And I hope that you'll have patience with me as I have the clarity to recap what we've been doing the last couple weeks. So I just want to remind you that we've been looking at Acts 2. So you're going to see it on the screen behind me. We've been studying the early church, and we've had a series called Committed, Connected, and Contagious. But really, we are leapfrogging out of the beginning of the body of Christ. What was happening there? And so I want to take a minute to read this text aloud with all of you. So this is the ESV translation. Just follow along the screen. And then we're going to talk about how we're going to pray out of it. So let's just read this together. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. So what was happening in the early churches, who they were becoming was contagious. People were looking at them and they were seeing Jesus. And so Mark preached last week on the word contagious. What does it mean to have people need Jesus and not me? People need Jesus, they don't need me. So how are our lives pointing to Christ? And he challenged us with this question. How do our lives point to Christ? And if not, why aren't they pointing to Christ? Because we're looking at Bethel and we're looking at our church and we're saying, you know, we're here, but we're here to be a light to the world. And so are people catching Jesus? You know, are we contagious for Jesus at Bethel? And one of the ways in which you can become contagious for Jesus, Mark talked about four things that actually come out of our text. So he talked about the word of God, which is in verse 42. We just read teaching. So the group of people is dedicating themselves to the teaching. And community or fellowship, which the word in Greek there is koinonia. So it's particularly talking about the fellowship within the body with other believers, Christ followers. Verse 42 also mentions prayer. We've just read that. And then verse 44 and 45 of Acts 2 talk about service. So they're serving each other. And so these four things, Mark talked about how studies have shown, and I would say in all the discipleship reading I've done, if you commit to these four practices in your life, you will inevitably become someone who is contagious for Jesus. You can't help when you're committed to reading the word and sitting under teaching, when you are committed to community and doing life with people who are also figuring that out, when you are a person of prayer, when we are a church of prayer, and when we are committed to serving each other, so working that out in community, you can't help but become someone who is Christ-like. I'm going to give you an illustration. I think most of you know that I like sports, particularly soccer. But I don't tell you when I talk about soccer, about those visits to the gym where I do strength training and some days I can't walk because it hurts so much. But I believe that that's going to make me a better soccer player. Or the sprints I do on my cycle or my bicycle so that I can, you know, hopefully get a goal. Or maybe occasionally watch, you know, movies about strategy and how to play the soccer field better. Those are all disciplines that I cultivate on the side in order so that I can become a better soccer player. So those four disciplines that we're talking about, what does it mean to be committed to those so that when you are on the field, I'm going to say living your life, that you inevitably become a person who is contagious for Jesus? Now, committing to those is going to look different for everyone, but we believe that these four things from the Bible, but also history we have behind us, actually prove that when you're committed to these things, you become the type of person who is contagious for Jesus. I think oftentimes as discipleship pastor, it can be like, we're going to make this complicated sort of vision. I'm going to tell you what it looks like to follow Jesus or be an apprentice. But in the end, I would say discipleship boils down to two things. You can look at it two different ways. Step one, you accept Jesus as Savior. And then how do you make him Lord of your life? That's it. So part of making him Lord of your life is having these inputs. What does it mean to read, be in prayer, be in service? Or we can look at it another way. Discipleship is this: love God exclusively, let him be the one that you worship, where your fulfillment comes from, love others inclusively. Love God exclusively, love others inclusively. When I was studying for leadership, they were saying that a leader who doesn't know their own identity is gonna use people to find their identity. But if a leader knows who they are, they're gonna help people discover their own identity. Now, they were saying this about leadership, but I actually think that this is true of believers. If you know who you are in Christ, right? If you're cultivating these places, putting yourself in environments where you're hearing who you are in Christ, where you're living out the love of Christ, you can only help other people discover their identity in Christ because you're not going to use them, right? You're going to be solid in who you are and then be able to connect people with Jesus. So the question we're asking ourselves is, are people catching Jesus from us? And if not, why not? I want to introduce you to someone who's inspired me, and you're going to see his Instagram. We stalked his Instagram yesterday. His name is Bob Goff. Have anyone of you heard of him? Like four people. Awesome. So I'm going to tell you who he is. This man is trained as a lawyer, was a lawyer for a number of years. He's also a Christ follower, but he became convicted by the love of God that he needed to start living out extravagant love. So he kind of he does these things that are like, he'll take balloons to random strangers and just be like, you are so loved and you're special. And he really thinks, I mean, if you look at his smile on this side, I feel like he's kind of contagious. Like you can just see in his face, you kind of just want to, what is this man up to? And he also has a great sense of humor. But what he does is he wrote a book called Love Does. And he's telling stories either out of his own experience or of people that he has walked alongside where they have loved extravagantly. But he uses that experience to say, but there is a love that you can't imagine. This love comes from Jesus. So he uses loving extravagantly and being contagious in his love as a way of engaging people with Jesus. And so he's inspired me. And I think when you're looking at someone who lives like that, you want to be around them. You want to catch what they have. And so when we're looking at Bethel, we're asking ourselves, are we a church that people want to come to because we are known for our love? We are known because Christ is being shaped in us. So the question you're going to see out of this on your handout this morning under the contagious section is, are people catching Jesus from me? And if not, why not? We wanted to give you space to reflect. So no, I'm not going to get you all to confess out loud. Don't worry, okay? This is going to be a place of silence. Or maybe you think about those incidences in your life where, okay, let's say you had a bad day at work, you come home and you snap at your spouse or your roommate or your kids, or you're driving on the road and maybe people don't experience Jesus in how you drive, or you speak without thinking and you hurt people, you don't give credit where credit is due, maybe you're a student, you're tempted to like copy. Are there areas in your life in which you are not letting the shape of Jesus come out in you, be formed in you? So those are some situations, but we also think it's important that we pray out of a text. So I'm just going to read this to you, and it's Galatians 5, 16 to 21. And it just says this, that let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, that you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. because the sinful nature, we know this, wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what our sinful nature desires. And the two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you aren't free to carry out what you intend to. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. You're set free. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. So here's a list as a jumping point: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom. Are people catching Jesus from you? And if not, why not? So I'm going to give you about 5 minutes. It's going to feel like a long time, but I actually think we need to calm our spirits down enough to ask the Lord, is there something in my life that is preventing people from seeing Jesus in me? Where the shape of Christ is unable to take root in my heart because I have something else in the way. Maybe it's a list of these things. Maybe it's a relationship that's broken. Maybe it's one of the things that I mentioned earlier. But in your relationships, in your life, is there an area or is there something that is preventing Jesus from being formed in you? Write that out. Confess that to the Lord. I'm not going to have us read it out. Don't worry. I just want you to use the next 4 or 5 minutes to write that out as an act of acknowledging this is something that's getting in the way. And then I'm going to close us in a prayer around God's promise of forgiveness when we confess our sin. So I'm going to give you 5 minutes and we're going to sit in beautiful silence. Lord, it can be hard to sit in silence, so we can't avoid those things that we haven't wanted to talk to you about. Let us have courage to sit in your presence because we know that we are loved, and none of the things that we've written on that paper are a surprise to you. Lord, the words that have been written down, we confess these. Help us to put them off. And thank you for the promise that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can put them at the foot of the cross and leave them there. And Lord, even though sometimes we want to pick them back up or we feel like we need to earn your good favor, it's not the good news of this morning. We literally can just tell you we're broken in this area. And you say, I know. And also, let's leave it. Because I sent my son to die for that. So Lord, help us to become the type of people who put on the fruits of the Spirit. Help us to put on love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, because there is no law against fruit of the Spirit. Thank you that we who belong to Christ have nailed those sins, those things that we've confessed, those passions, those desires that are not in line with you. We've nailed them to the cross, and you've crucified them there. And so since we are living by the Spirit, we can follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. We thank you for the relief that this brings because of the work of Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. We are just going to, now that we have cleared our hearts, we're going to just ask for Jesus, for Christ to be in us, for Christ to go before us. This is a song. Prayers are really, songs are prayers put to music. So you've been praying all morning already. This is a song we've been singing for a couple months. Might be familiar to some, might be new to others. I want to encourage you to give each other space. If you need to sit and reflect in this song, if you need to stand and sing, if you need to sit and sing, if you need to kneel, just use this song to invite Christ to be in your heart, but also to go before you, to pave that way. In the world, will you go before? Let us be your hands and feet. In your name we pray. Amen. So we invite Christ to come into our hearts, right? We're connected with him. And when we read in Acts of a group of people who are devoted to prayer, word, the fellowship, and service, you're reading of a group of people who, because of their connection with Christ, get to be connected to each other. Now, for those of you who weren't here a couple weeks ago, I just want to recap that outside of that room that we talked about in the upper room where people are gathering together, they were divided. They'd leave that room and you would have a slave and a master. You'd have someone who's free and who wasn't. You'd have gender divides. You would have racial divides. And truthfully, we're sitting here today, and what other reason do we have to be together? I wouldn't know some of you if it wasn't for Jesus. And so we're looking, and when we read in Acts 2, we're reading of a new way of being, where for the first time, theologians and some historians argue that people actually get a choice to be connected. All of those factors that I mentioned before, whether you're a slave or free, whether you're male or female, whatever your racial background is, you don't get to choose those things. So you will just end up connected or being associated with a group of people. But when you say yes to being connected with Jesus, you end up getting a choice to be connected with other people who are also becoming like Jesus. And so when people are connected with Jesus, they become connected with each other. This is the good news, right? You connect yourself with Christ. You invite Christ to come in us, go before us, go behind us. But then we're going to live that out. Other people in our lives are going to be connected to us. Other people who are also becoming like Jesus. The man I mentioned earlier, Bob Goff, he says a quote, and it's going to come on the screen behind me. I think oftentimes we think that Jesus had to come down and it was simply because He had to save us from our sins. But this quote where he writes, like, Christ demonstrated he didn't just want to be an observer in the lives of the ones he loved. He wanted to be a participant. He wanted to be with the ones he loved. And that helped me also to see God's love for us, is that he didn't just want to love us from a distance. He actually came down, not just to rescue us, but because he loved us and wanted to spend time with us. And I think that oftentimes, you know, we know what it's like being around people that we like. We want to be around them, right? And so our question out of this section of being connected with Jesus, are we connected with those who are also becoming like Jesus? Do we want to be around and love other people who are also becoming like Jesus? Because connection requires courage. Being connected requires courage, because the truth is we are all sitting here. We have broken families, broken relationships, broken stories. There's suffering. We have parts of us that are insecure. All of these things get in the way of us being connected to each other. But that quote that I mentioned earlier, where it talks about, you know, if you're secure in your identity in Christ, if you're connected with Christ, you will help someone else find their identity in Christ. And I can't think of a better way to help someone find their identity in Christ than to pray together. So what we're going to do out of the second section, I know some of you are like, oh no, I'm going to have to pray aloud, but guess what? We have fill in the blanks. I'm so excited. So if you'll turn to the back, there is a written prayer here. This is like grade one, but I actually think it's so helpful, because we've already, what I've done or what we've done is we've rewritten 1 Corinthians 13 on love. But we want you to, in groups of two or three, I know this is going to be scary a bit because you're going to have to talk to each other, but I want you to pay attention to make sure everyone's included around you. And you're going to ask each other's names and maybe say, like how are you connected to Bethel, or how long have you been here? And then you're going to decide who is going to pray for who. And you're actually going to write their name in the blank. And I would encourage you, don't just like write. Like, actually read the words as you're writing it in, so that by the time you read it out loud for that person, you will have already thought of the words. So if I was praying for Jamie Stinson, I would like, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your deep love towards Jamie. Thank you for sending your only son, Jesus Christ, to suffer on the cross for Jamie's sake. And then you just go on. So I'm going to give you a good amount of time to do this, about 8 minutes, because I want us all to pray this aloud for each other. And it's just praying this scripture, 1 Corinthians 13, through, because the reality is we need help to love each other. We need help to be courageous despite the brokenness and love each other in a risky way. So look at those around you. Get connected and make sure everyone's connected, not sitting by themselves. So, and plug in three groups of three or four, and I'll give you about 8 minutes, and then I'll give you a 2-minute warning, and then I'll lead us in a closing prayer. So go and courageously connect. Help us at Bethel, as your children, to courageously and continuously love others as Christ has loved us. Fill Bethel with the love of Christ. Help us to be patient and kind to those around us. Help us to care more for others than we do for ourselves, and to cheer them on. Let us as a church be humble, not selfish, and to put the needs of others in front of our own. Help us to be the type of people who are forgiving and seek restoration. May we as a church celebrate when truth is revealed and have a broken heart when there is wrong or injustice in the world. God, give us the courage to trust you, so that we may persevere through all things, to hope the best and to hold on to hope for others. In the power of the Holy Spirit, who lives inside of us, and in the name of Jesus, who goes before us and is behind us, God's people said, Amen. So we have just prayed about being contagious, prayed about being connected, put off things that hinder people from getting in the way, and asking the love of Christ to fill us, because we need help. But we talked about this morning, you know, being in environments, putting ourselves, having disciplines where we can become like Jesus. But the reality is there are those in our lives where we are their link to Jesus. We are the person that they will experience or not the love of Christ. So we're going to ask a very simple thing for this last section about committed. We're going to do two things. One is to look at your sheet, and you're going to see that there is space for five names. You are welcome to put in more, but really feel the importance of praying for people in your life who are not committed to Jesus. That might be family members, that might be work colleagues, that might be friends. All of us are networked with people. It might be your dental hygienist, who even knows? I want you to ask this, we're going to give you 2 minutes, just in silence, to commit to five people in your life. And I would like to say this gently. Don't be like, I would like to see this person. Like, ask the Spirit who in your life, because there are probably Pauls in our life who are just brazen and they are maybe even annoying and they rub us the wrong way, but the Lord works in anyone. And I think we don't want to dismiss people just because we may struggle with them. So we're going to have 2 minutes. Just ask the Lord, who are the people you want me to start praying for so that they may eventually become connected to you as well? And if you want to use me, great, but I want to commit to these five people. So I'm going to give you about a minute, minute and a half, just to write down five names, more if you want, but we really want you to be committed to praying for these individuals. So these are the people that we're going to ask the next, you know, year, however long it takes that you commit to praying for them. Because in our passage that we looked at this morning in Acts 2, before people were committed to the fellowship and to teaching, to service and to prayer, they first made a commitment to Jesus. So we want people, we're not here, you know, for us to make ourselves feel good. We want other people in our lives to know Jesus. We want Bethel. You know, if we were to close down our doors, would the neighborhood, would people notice that we were missing? Because we're here to be a light to the world. We're here, you and I have given spaces and places, relationships that God wants to use. It's a link in a chain. The pressure's not on you, but just to commit to praying. And I know for me, as I've leaned into this, I've had opportunities not to share necessarily the whole gospel at a time, but just to be able to share my faith journey with someone who is seeking or dealing with circumstances that are hard. So I've seen answers to prayer, but I'm also seeing that the Lord is preparing me in my prayers to speak when I need to and be silent when it doesn't land on me. There's, you know, the Lord is working. So we're asking you to commit to praying for these people. And then the last thing we're asking you this morning is that you just commit to becoming like Christ. Because the reality is we don't want you to leave here and think, oh, there's a checklist to being like Christ. This is about behavior. The whole time we said we want you to put yourself in environments that will let Jesus be shaped in you. It's not about what you do. It is who you are becoming. It's not about what you do. It is about who you are becoming. And when you become more like Christ, you will inevitably shine brightly for him. But it requires courage, right? It requires commitment. I want to tell you a story, actually, of an individual in our community. This happened a year ago, just to kind of inspire you. He came to me, and I had not recognized him. Him and his fiance came to me in the life group launch, so it was a year ago. And he said, okay, I need to take my spiritual life seriously, and so I quit my job. And I was like, what? That's pressure. He's like, no, like I have not. I've always had to work evenings, and I've had to work weekends, and I just have not been able to be in church, and I have not been able to grow my faith. So I quit my job because I think this is important. And I was like, great. And I was like, okay. So he signed up for my class. Within 4 weeks, he had a job. And so the Lord answered, I think, and honored his commitment of saying, this is a priority for me, and I actually see how this is getting in the way of me becoming like Christ. And then he ended up taking my, becoming a contagious Christian class and started like sharing with his coworkers. And like, he has all these ways that he's trying to just expose people to Jesus. And I think that's so inspiring, and that happens here. So we're just asking that you commit to becoming like Christ this morning. And so we want to take this home with you, put this on your fridge, put it in your Bibles, pray through it, pray for it, let it inspire your own prayers. But we want to be the type of church that is contagious for Jesus, the type of people who draw others to Christ. And so as we stand this morning, we're going to sing a song of response. I'm going to ask the team to come up. There is a prayer on the last page or on the back at the bottom that we're going to read as a commitment prayer. So if you stand up, we're going to read this together, and then we're going to sing a song of commitment. And encourage you to take this home with you and put it where you are reminded. So let's read that prayer together. Lord, we desire to be contagious with you. May the beauty of Jesus be seen in us. We want to connect deeply into your heart and with your body, the church. We are committed and thirsty for your kingdom to come in greater fullness. As in the early church, may all our teaching, fellowship, prayer, service, and worship be enlivened by your Holy Spirit. May Kingston become a transformed city because this expression of your church at 314 Johnson Street is alive in Christ. We declare, announce, and walk in this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing as we respond.